702. The Friday Mix. Food.
I've just had a very yummy, refreshing, filling lunch. And it's all compliments of Annabelle Frere, who is the author of the book Help, There's a Guest at My Table. One of the first books, the book that she wrote prior to this, was called Help, There's a Stove in My Kitchen. And the book was targeted pretty much at university students and them just kind of going from being non-cookers to being at least decently good. So this particular book focuses, the new book focuses pretty much on young professionals and how it is that they're able to entertain people at their home, the decor, the kind of food that you serve. Annabelle, welcome. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm fine, thank you. I'm very pleased to be here.
I think I'm doing fantastically well, because honestly, between the avo and spinach cheesecake and the tuna and just everything that we've had, like, I'm really, my tummy feels like I can't wait for 3 o'clock so I can rush out and complete my lunch. But happy Women's Day, firstly.
Thank you.
So now let's talk about just, some of the main themes around this book. So one of it is really about giving advice with setting up and, you know, setting up and decor and so forth. What are the do's and don'ts where that is concerned?
Well, I think the first thing is do be well prepared. So when you're starting, even when you've got the seed of an idea in your head that you want to entertain people, mm-hmm. is to start getting organized and to send out those invites and make sure you've actually got a party happening.
Yes. Yes.
And then for the, like, if they're close friends, which often happens, you want to have, give them shorter notice, maybe a couple of weeks would do it. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing a very big party celebrating something very, you know, special, then you need to plan like 2-3 months ahead at least.
2-3 months in advance?
I would say, because you see, if it's like a big 30th or a wedding anniversary or even a wedding, wedding needs to be a lot longer.
Yes.
But you need to have the invites sent out and replies back, and then maybe you need to hire things. Maybe you need help with friends or a professional or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's the first step, really, is to
be prepared.
Be prepared.
Yes.
And then you must really choose your foods carefully, I think.
Yeah. Can I ask actually around that? Is it good etiquette to ask people what they do and don't eat? Do you know what I mean? Because somebody could show up and perhaps, what if they're lactose intolerant or something like that?
Yes.
And then how do you, in that case, then ensure that everybody's able to eat the meal?
Yes, you're absolutely right. You do need to know, because you can't really improvise at the last minute. Mm. One thing you must never have to do is do anything at the last minute as a rush.
Yeah.
Because that will take you away from your guests and your fun.
Yes.
Yes, I think the answer is ask people. Mm-hmm. And then if they do have an allergy or have lactose intolerance or whatever, what I like to do is try and make their dish look almost identical to everybody else's, but without the thing in it. So if you're allergic to basil, just have a special little dish, same as everybody else, but without the basil.
Okay,
now lactose obviously is a bit different, but you'd have to be
kind
creative
of,
and you'd have to do that in advance.
Definitely.
Yes.
And some of the chapters within the book, so Raising the Spirits, I love these titles, and that obviously speaks about the drinks and the cocktail. So let's talk about how you prepare that. You know, when people walk in, do you serve them? Like, because I have friends who are fantastic entertainers. I unfortunately don't have that skill, or so I think. But what sort of advice would you give where that's concerned?
I think you decide based on who's coming, what cocktail you're actually going to serve up, if you do at all. So I think gin's very popular at the moment. Prosecco is very popular.
Yeah.
I don't think you can go wrong with those.
Yes.
And it's quite nice just to have a cocktail. Mm. Don't go for more than one.
Yes. At the start.
Yes. To welcome people. So have a lovely welcoming drink. Mm-hmm. And then you will probably have a table of wines and soft drinks and a beautiful jug of water with herbs and lemon in. But don't go overboard. You can't be making cocktails, 10 different cocktails for different people.
Exactly. So in case you've just
one jug.
Yeah, in case you've just joined us, we're talking to Annabelle Frere. She is the author of the book, Help, There's a Guest at My Table. It is geared towards young professionals who are starting to entertain, but I personally think that anybody can benefit from this book and from just the art of being able to entertain and to cook for a large number of people, or perhaps more than two, if that's what you're usually used to doing. Now, this afternoon we just had, I mean, I think your signature dish was cheesecake, but in a way that I have never had it before. Can you go through the recipe for it?
Sure, yes. That's my spinach and avocado cheesecake.
Yes.
I do make it for everybody because I know it's going to be a hit. Everybody loves it, and it's very, very different. Most people haven't tried it before.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically made of a base of savoury crackers, nice crunchy ones mixed with butter, and they're blitzed in a food processor, mixed with melted butter and pressed into the base of a springform tin.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make the main cheesecake with gelatin in stock, about a cup of that, and then you let that cool, and whilst you're doing that you load up your jug blender with spinach, avocados, garlic, lemon, feta cheese, a solid cream cheese, and then also a creme fraiche.
So you technically don't, I mean, because if I'm not mistaken, there isn't actual baking involved in it, correct?
No, none at all.
As you can tell, I've never made cheesecake in my life. So, but this recipe sounds so simple that it's, as much as it is your signature dish, and it really tastes incredible. I wish I could just feed everybody that's listening right now. It also just seems as though it's something that just about anybody can make.
Very, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
That's my philosophy throughout the whole book. Is make things as simple as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're going to take time, then they're making advanced dishes.
Mm.
Nothing's going to take time and be last minute. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they're quick and easy. And a lot of them are actually make ahead. Pretty well all the desserts you can make ahead, a day ahead.
Yes.
So.
And the sauces as well. There was a peanutty kind of lime sauce that we had with the tuna.
Yes.
So you create all the sauces too?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
It's all
okay.
in the book.
Okay.
All the recipes are in there.
And your signature sauce, the one that is always a hit, which would you say that is?
Hollandaise and béarnaise. Mm-hmm. I think those are, what I've done is I've taken the cordon bleu and simplified it to very, very, very easy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've got to try it. It's so easy.
Yeah.
And it makes such a difference to steaks, to fish, to all sorts of things. You can have it with asparagus and as a starter.
Yeah.
It really goes with a lot.
And what would you say is the secret to making great sauce? Because I know, you know, more often than not, we kind of walk into the stores and, you know, it's like there's the sauces are kind of already created for us. But it's something that pretty much anybody can make at home. So what are the do's and don'ts around making just, you know, great sauce? And because I feel that that's what makes people's meals and dishes different.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was brought up on sauces. And
okay.
so it's one of my specialities.
Mm-hmm.
And there are basic techniques for making sauces when you're searing meat.
Mm-hmm.
That is rule number one, is when you sear the meat, take the meat out, keep the pan juices. Deglaze your pan with an acid like a vinegar, a red wine, lemon juice, whatever. Then you add your flavors. So it could be a stock, it could be mushrooms, it could be anything really.
Yeah.
And then you enrich it with butter.
Mm-hmm.
At the end and swish it, just swirl it around.
Yes.
And that is a really good basic technique for a good sauce every time you make seared meat.
That sounds fantastic. You can give us a call, 011-883-0702, or send us a WhatsApp message, 072-702-1702. The book, once again, is Help, There's a Guest at My Table, and we are talking to Annabelle Frere just to find out a bit more about entertaining and some of the great recipes that she has. Now, we also had the chicken, which was... honestly, it just really tasted good, and you use another kind of signature sauce with that. So talk us through that recipe.
Well, that's using your umami type flavors, which is to mix sweet, sour, salty, spicy, if you want the spice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's those basics that you mix together in combination to make it really delicious. So that is the basis of that one. It's an Oriental style, Eastern style chicken.
Mm.
It's a salad that's very easy because you can buy a ready cooked chicken for that one and then just shred it off with your fingers.
I'm sure everybody was like relieved, like ready cooked chicken.
And and then I made my own mayonnaise, but you can buy mayonnaise, and you mix it with the honey, soy, lime, and I put a bit of chili in that as well. So
I guess one of the good things about being able to make your own sauces, like you said, you know, for example, you made your own mayonnaise and such, is that you can literally, you can make it in such a way so it doesn't have all of the extras that your body perhaps doesn't need. So you really are in control of what your dish is from a health perspective.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the brownies as well. Those were lovely. And the white brownies. What are they called?
Blondies.
The blondies. Okay. The blondies. Yeah. Those were lovely with macadamia nuts as well.
That's right. Yes. That's right. Yeah. They're basically, you know, the white chocolate version of a brownie.
Mm-hmm.
But they, because white chocolate isn't actually chocolate, it's made from the butter of the cocoa bean, which is what they call, and then they turn it into white chocolate.
Yeah.
It behaves very differently to ordinary dark chocolate.
Okay.
So you make it in a very similar way, but I add far less butter because it's already buttery than the brownie. And then I put in more flour and a bit of baking powder into that mix as well.
Mm-hmm.
And mix in the nuts and, you know, it's very, very simple again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're somebody who is not a baker, again, I have to ask this question. Is it almost a fail-proof recipe, should I say?
It is. If anyone can do it.
Anyone can do it.
Yes.
I'm actually going to try that a bit later. And now we're going into the autumn and then winter season in South Africa. So obviously soups are going to become a huge thing, you know?
Yes.
So what kind of soup recipes do you have, or say your signature soup recipe in the book?
My favourite, I think, which is very popular, is the cauliflower and almond soup, in fact, because that one, it's very good for transitioning into autumn or spring. In fact, it's good for any time of the year.
Yeah.
You can have it hot or cold anyway. And again, it's very, very simple. So you want the recipe?
Yeah, talk to us a bit more about it. Yeah.
Okay, well, it's basically got ground almonds in it, which you toast. And then it's very, very simple with garlic, onion and cauliflower.
Yes.
And a good stock, which you boil up until it's soft, you know. And then you blend it all with the almonds and then add a bit of cream.
Yeah. And it doesn't take that long to make it all, which is what I love about your recipes also. They are, as you mentioned at the beginning, they are pretty quick, but are really delicious to make.
Yeah, that's 40 minutes, that one.
And do you come from a family where your family are cooks? How did you, you know, stumble across this? Because I'm just curious about that, because it seems as though you have all of these recipes in your head. Like, where did that all come from?
Well, my mum used to cook quite a bit, and I used to have to go and stir.
Oh, so you were the appointed stirrer.
I was a stirrer, whether it was gravy or a sauce or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I saw how things were done.
Mm-hmm.
That's going back a very long time. I didn't really learn formally at all, so it was mainly trial and error and using recipes and family recipes.
Yes.
And the first book had quite a few family recipes in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just branch out and be creative.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's a philosophy I'm trying to impart to all my readers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is to try and be creative and try and make something your own.
Yes.
So if you want to put celery in it, put celery in it. Yes. You know, you can stick. The basic recipe will give you what you need.
Yes.
And then you can just
add on
whatever you like.
Yeah.
And make it yours.
Yeah, I do. There is a friend of mine who every time we have a meal together when they cook, it tastes amazing, but they never seem to be able to make the meal again because you know, it's like they can't almost make the same meal twice because they just literally were trying. So they're really extravagant. They play music and there they are in the kitchen, you know, going ahead and creating like something new. Then you taste it and you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then you're like, can you make this again? And they're like, I don't really know how I did it. Yeah. So in general, would you say, because you're saying about how it is that you try and impart this whole idea of creativity to people who read the book when it comes to, so how much room is there within your recipes to kind of shift and to add an ingredient or to change something so that it's more, say personalized to different people?
I think people can add their own choice of herbs. The one section on quiches and, you know, in the snack section, you've got varieties. So you can take your pick. And that is a way of saying, okay, well, you can try this and then you can add your own things. And I think the scope is quite big for doing what you like, in fact.
And before we let you go, the main courses, what is your favourite main course dish within the book?
Well, I do like that seared tuna we had.
Yes.
I do love that because that's like a 5-minute dish anyhow.
5 minutes, yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes. Otherwise, my husband loves the lamb chop dish, which is on the cover.
On the cover, yeah, it looks lovely.
And that one also is really quick. The longest time it takes is actually to cook those lamb chops, which is not very long at all.
Yeah.
And the sauce is basically anchovies and capers and garlic and lemon with the butter.
Oh, that sounds great. I'm actually like going to try and make this one today. The lamb chop dish. Some messages coming through. One of them saying, Anna Freire is definitely one of the very best cooks that we have. So somebody is clearly a fan of your cooking. But thank you so much for coming and for sharing with us. Yeah, I think that if you are somebody who wants to be able to entertain people and because cooking is something that I don't think anybody can get away from these days, you know, because it is so much nicer to have guests at your home. You should pick up the book. It's called Help, There's a Guest at My Table. And Annabelle Freire is the author of that. And if you were one of the people who actually got the first book, which is Help, There's a Stove in My Kitchen, that one was, of course, geared to a lot more to students who were trying to find their way and moving into their first home on their own, or if you're a poster student. But yeah, I think it's really fantastic, Annabelle, because as I said, like to be able to entertain, it's so much more special, you know? And when people feel that you've prepared a meal for them, it just makes it so much better. So thank you so much. Well, thank you so much. And where is the book available?
In all the big bookstores, Exclusives, Esterols, or in fact, all the big bookstores near you, Reader's Warehouse, yeah, anywhere.
Anyway, and then finally, for you, what is the key to like the drinks that you serve with food? Because I think that sometimes the reason why people try to give you so much alcohol at the beginning of the night is so that you won't have to taste the food. That's just the cynical me, you know. But what is the secret with the mix? Yeah, what is the secret of the mix of the kind of food that you serve depending on the meal that you're preparing?
The drinks.
The drinks. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I always like white wine. And I think red wine as well, I think, goes well. But, you know, if you're not a drinker or don't like alcohol, then I think you have to go for what you normally have. Otherwise, water is always perfectly acceptable. But just think about when you're pairing your wines that, you know, you've got the same intensity and body that goes with the foods.
Definitely.
And acidity and sweetness as well. So that all counts, otherwise you're going to clash horribly.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Annabelle, for being in studio with us.